This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
Now, Amy, I feel like I've seen you all last night, even though we didn't hang out, because I was watching the Christmas movie Noelle, and you were the spinning image of Anna Kendrick. Now, I can already hear people listening being like, well, doesn't that mean that you also look like Anna Kendrick, being identical triplets? But there is an uncanny resemblance between you and her.
Well, I'm going to interject because I've also been told I look like Anna Kendrick. I think, Sophie, you're the only one that hasn't been told you look like Anna Kendrick.
I've weirdly been told, and it sounds like humble brag, that I look like Mina Silvari.
God, this whole segment's a humble brag. Well, which movie star do I look like at the moment?
But you know what? I didn't even really know who Anna Kendrick was because, you know, the first time I was told that I looked like her, because we were sitting in this restaurant, the three of us, and this girl came up and said, has anyone ever told you you look like Anna Kendrick? And I remember turning to our best friend, Owen, and I said, oh, is that an offensive thing or is that a nice thing? And she's like, oh, I don't know.
She said, you won't be thrilled by being told you look like her.
Anyway, then I watched Pitch Perfect and I was like, oh my God, there is something about her face that reminds me of my own face.
Well, I can definitely see, like, I can see the resemblance with you, Amy, but when I was living in Melbourne, my boyfriend at the time's friend came up and told him that he thought I looked like Anna Kendrick, and now we've just been getting it, like, in the most random places.
Yeah, we're talking about random places. Do you guys remember when we were at Hooters and we...
In Singapore.
We were the best cousins. We took our two male cousins to Hooters.
Our little cousin, who was 15 at the time, told us that he just wanted to go there for the family atmosphere. It wasn't anything to do with the girls. And it was the best place to go and eat dinner at Clarke Quay in Singapore. I've got to give him that.
It makes it sound worse that he was 15, that we took a 15-year-old there. But anyway, we were sitting at the table and the waitress came up and said, oh my God, are you Anna Kendrick? And I was sitting there with Kate and Sophie to my left and right thinking, how are there three Anna Kendricks here then?
It's funny though that it seems to be happening in like places that we don't live. Like I was in America and the Uber driver when I got out was like, oh, should I be asking you for your autograph? And I was like, why? And he's like, aren't you that movie star that's on Pitch Perfect? I was like, this is so weird.
Well, talking about stuff that's weird. So when I was in Amsterdam, I found out that Anna Kendrick was there at the same time. And that was the day that we'd seen Alf Stewart from Home and Away. So I was telling Dale, I'm like, we're going to see Anna Kendrick. It's just meant to be. I've had so many people tell me I look like her. Now I'm going to run into her in Amsterdam. Well, unfortunately, that didn't happen.
Maybe she should replace me as your other sister. It kind of reminds me of that trend 10 years ago on Facebook where people put up their doppelgangers and it was always a celebrity that did not look anything like that. People are probably going to go now and look us up and be like, they don't look like her.
I remember some girl put up Jennifer Hawkins and I was like, wow, the audacity to do that. Yeah, we've just been discussing that we look like all these movie stars. But we're going to put a post up in our community. Please tell us who you have been mistaken as. It can be any sort of celebrity, even an influencer or a Z grade.
I got my ticket for the long way round. To buy the whiskey for the way.
Mummy blogger Olivia White has been accused of misleading her followers after releasing champagne flutes she claimed were original pieces inspired by her mother and grandmother. However, savvy fans have spotted the same champagne glasses on Chinese wholesale marketplace Alibaba. Now, before we delve into the craziness that's transpired over the last week on social media, Kate, can you tell us who exactly is Olivia White?
Well, to be completely honest, I wasn't actually aware of Olivia White. I only recently started following her page, House of White. So she is a 30-year-old mummy blogger, and she started her blog when her daughter was born about 7 years ago now. So she has two kids, and she's got a bit of a background in marketing. She did some fashion writing for Country Racing Victoria before she fell pregnant. And once she was pregnant at 23, she decided to launch her own blog about motherhood, of course. And that took off. So now she really is a bit of an influencer. She is also an advocate for body positivity.
Yeah, we should probably get into it. So she announced that she was releasing a limited edition range of gifting product. And she revealed that she had created some champagne flutes called the Valerie, which are shaped as a woman's body, and also some silicone cups called Kimmy.
Now, silicone cups, it sounds like breast implants or something, but they're actually kind of kid-friendly
like wine
glasses.
Yeah. So she said that the glassware was inspired by her mum, Valerie, and also her grandma. And she said it was a celebration of all women and was created to inspire other women to celebrate celebrate themselves. Now, ahead of the glasses going on sale, Olivia posted about how she was going to surprise her mum, Valerie, with the glasses, and she in fact had to block her on Instagram so she didn't see any of her posts. Now, to me, that was already strange because if you have been creating some glassware that's your passion project for a number of months now, you think your mum might have heard about it.
Oh, but if it's a surprise, I can see why. It actually sounds like a really nice marketing story. So I'm not surprised she's previously worked in marketing because you've got the hook of this is for my mom and this is a body positivity product.
Well, ahead of the launch, she actually did a giveaway on Instagram and she also released the glasses to a number of influencers. And I actually saw them on my feed because Olivia Rogers shared about them and I thought, God, those glasses are quite cool.
I also saw them on Olivia Rogers' page and I was like, wow, that's pretty cool, especially because it's all about body positivity and it seemed like a really unique glass that you could give as a really good gift.
Yeah, she seemed to have quite a good marketing strategy in place. She also had a pre-sale option where people could register for the product ahead of time. But a number of people said online that they actually did not receive the email to notify them that it had gone on sale early.
I did find the communication back to customers from Olivia a little bit cringe. There were quite a few people, as you said, posting that they did not receive the initial email and then had missed out on getting a glass. And she kind of wrote back like, oh, well, I don't know. Like there was some 21 emails that bounced back or maybe check your junk. And it was sort of a little bit, seemed a little bit unprofessional.
Something else I found a little bit cringe now knowing what has unfolded was that she did an announcement post to say that the product was live. And the co-founder of Business Chicks, Emma Isaac, wrote underneath the post expressing how proud she was of Olivia for launching this product. Now, should we talk about what has unfolded?
I think so.
Well, the glasses did sell out in under an hour, so they went on sale on Monday at 11 a.m. And Olivia, as you would be, was very proud to say on her Instagram that they had sold out in record time and she really wasn't expecting it at all.
Well, yeah, she was really proud of the fact that she had sold out all of the glasses and she was posting lots of Insta stories of herself packing the glasses. But things turned suddenly when some followers did a bit of investigating.
Yes, it was quite interesting because a few followers did a little bit of digging and discovered the Valerie glass was in fact being sold on Alibaba. Now, you can do a quick search and the glass is actually referred to on Alibaba as Lady Body Shaped Cheap Glassware Wine Glass. Now, I thought it was hilarious that it was actually referred to as cheap glassware. And it is being sold for $1.62 and that's with a minimum order of 2,000. So it's a bit rich to be charging someone $40 a glass when you were only paying $1.60.
Yeah, well, to be specific, it was actually $39.95 and the influencers who got it did show that it was in a nice little bag. So I don't know if that was any additional cost.
So can I just say though, this is just another influencer who's basically set up a drop shipping business from Alibaba.
Well, the worst thing was that the silicone cups were also on Alibaba and they ranged from 14 cents to $1.65 and there was no minimum spend. So that was for one glass on its own.
Can I just say though, I don't think there's anything wrong with dropshipping as a business model, but I do think there's something wrong when you're claiming you've designed these glasses. I think that's completely misleading to the people who were buying them.
Well, I'm aware of some very successful businesses that have started off as dropshipping. However, it seems quite different because normally it's someone that doesn't really have any money behind them. It's usually someone that is, you know, potentially a 20-year-old kid that has an idea and the only way to get it off his feet is to do drop shipping. However, it's kind of an interesting business strategy for an influencer who you would assume has a little bit of money saved up from their following and from the advertisements that they do with big brands like Woolworths, that they could probably source a glass that was a bit more custom made.
Well, I think the worst thing was that she was just amping it up so much. You know, she wrote on Instagram saying, oh, I've got a newfound appreciation for people who run their own business and sell physical goods. Yes, you were stuck packing the glasses, but you didn't create the glassware like you claim to do.
I think things really went up a level when Olivia decided to get on her Instagram story. Now, this was fresh off packing all of her boxes of glassware for the last couple of days, and she was drinking a beer. So I really think this was an example of when you really should have slept on something. Anyway, so she decided to call out the people that were accusing her of using Alibaba for her glassware. And this is what she said. Now, it goes on for a little bit, but I think it's important to hear the tone and what she actually said.
This whole time I was like, I'm not even going to give the attention to the one percenters. I'm like, no, Liv. And then that Tory inside of me was like, no, cunt. No, not at all. Most of you wouldn't even know what I'm talking about, but a couple of you have like felt the need to message me about people trolling me about selling these glasses and being like, oh my God, you can buy them from Alibaba for $3. And I'm like, Lols. There's so much about that that just... I can't even. Hilarious for so many reasons. And, like, oh my God, these people. Like, it's hilarious that I obviously shared these products with you weeks ago, but it wasn't until the moment that I launched them and they sold out that then these people were like, oh no, you were successful. And I'm kind of flattered because I've been sent screenshots of people being like, oh my God, she would have made like thousands, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I'm like, first of all, I'm like flattered that you think I sold that many. Like, I didn't even have like, I think I had like 500. So of course I couldn't buy at the quantity that people think I was buying for. Plus, whenever you buy anything from China, it comes in USD. Like, people. But this whole time, like, I've been telling you guys, like, you know, I was working with my friend Tara, who does product sourcing. Like, you know, literally I had said that this was something that I wanted for my bar cart and I couldn't readily find it in Australia. Anyway. It's not even that that gets me. It's not even that. What gets me is these people who act like they're social justice warriors, that they're like, oh my God, it makes me feel sick how much money she's making. I'm like, when are we going to stop? And I cannot stress this enough. When are we going to stop money shaming women? Oh my God. Who cares if I actually made that much money, which I wish I did. And could you please be my business coach? Because I'm clearly fucking doing it wrong. But like, when are we going to stop this? Like, these are the same people who probably don't believe that the virus exists, that support Trump, but are still having a cry that like they have to pay taxes on their tampons. Like, oh my God, if you want to talk about like highway robbery, I could give you a long fucking list. So let's just please stop money shaming women. Okay, thanks for coming to my TED Talk. Bye. Okay, little jokes. I'm not actually done. But there was one person that was like, oh my God, your followers are idiots. And I'm like, actually they're not. I'm like, they're actually just like really nice, genuine, supportive women who understand how hard it is to like hustle. But yeah, you know, it's fine. It's totally fine. And yeah, I'm pretty sure that like no one thought that I was like standing by the kiln, hand blowing them by myself. If you did, or if you did think that, like, I'm so sorry. I'm genuinely so sorry. But yeah. Oh, I'm just gonna drink my like mid-strength cheap beer. Celebrate. Because I can guarantee you, I can guarantee you that the money I made from doing this on the scale that I, but on the flip side of that, did it. I've done it. I had no idea what I was doing. If I got out of this without fucking up at least like 10 orders, then I feel like, you know, that's something to be celebrated. And sorry if I fucked up your order. I really didn't know what I was doing. I guess thank you for people thinking that I sold so many. Like, I'm genuinely flattered. You think I'm that influential, but like I didn't. And yeah, so cheers. Cheers to just stop money shaming women. Just seriously, just stop it. Just stop it. Please. And thank you.
Wow, I don't even know where to start with that rant. I mean, she's calling people C's for one. What is with all these influencers going on the Insta story and dropping the C-bomb?
Well, I think you fail in any sort of reasonable argument when you start calling people the C-word, and people really aren't going to listen or take what you're saying seriously.
I was pretty shocked as well, particularly when she has a background in PR and marketing, as well as the fact that she says she consults with brands on influencer marketing. Now, if I was consulting to her, I would tell her, do not go on your Instagram story when you've had no sleep and are drinking a beer and have a go at people.
The whole thing as well is a lot of people probably didn't even know about it, and she's just made them all aware of it now.
Exactly right.
She also didn't actually deny that they were from Alibaba, and then she said, oh yeah, they were sourced from China.
She literally confirmed confirm that they were from Alibaba.
Yeah, yeah, that was the weirdest thing, because when I was watching this unfold live, I was like, oh my gosh, so she's going to tell everyone that they're not from Alibaba. But then she seemed to defend the fact that they were from Alibaba because she told people weeks ago that her friend was helping her source glasses. It's like, what?
Can I just say though as well, she mentioned that she'd sold 500 glasses. Well, 500 times $39.95, that's 20 grand. So you are making a fair bit of cash for something that you've just imported from Alibaba. So let's just be honest. And what do you guys think about the whole issue of her claiming that people are money shaming her because she's a woman?
I'm sorry, people are not money shaming you because you're a woman. People are shaming you because you were completely misleading with your product. And it's quite shameful to pretend that you created this brand of glassware about your mother.
I think it's a clear deflection, isn't it? Because then it's like, if you are to say anything about this woman, then you are shaming her because she's a woman. That is not true at all.
Yeah. I'm sure men would get shamed if they pretended that they created a product and it was sold on Alibaba.
But it's got nothing to do with the fact that she's a woman selling something. It's the fact that she claimed that she had designed these glasses, and it is quite laughable that you can get them for a dollar on Alibaba.
I mean, shaming women over money is actually a legitimate thing, and the fact that she used that as an excuse to deflect blame about the fact that she was misleading with her products is really frustrating. I mean, I think there is a time and a place to use Alibaba as a way to source products. However, this was completely wrong. She made it sound like she had literally blown the glass for these glasses, which she does talk about. She says, oh, who's these idiots that think I was out there blowing the glasses? Like, we did not think that, but you would think that you were a part of the creative process. It's like when influencers bring out clothing brands and they've literally had no say in anything and literally like ticked a box. This seems to be like
this is
a new
worse.
Version of this.
I did enjoy the line where she said that she couldn't find the product in Australia, so that's why she decided to create her own. It's like, oh, so we couldn't have just ordered it on Alibaba instead to Australia?
I am interested because they are bringing the glasses back in February for Valentine's Day, I'm assuming. I wonder what the uptake will be like, or if people are just going to go on Alibaba and order their own.
Oh, yeah, it will be pretty funny.
Is it AliExpress that you can get?
You can get one-offs on AliExpress. Alibaba is where you sell multiple items.
Yeah, so I mean, people would have to buy the glasses in bulk in order to get one, but they could probably get it off AliExpress, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah. I feel like I just want one. Maybe we'll get some for the office just for a bit of a laugh for a couple of dollars.
They were pretty cool glasses. They did look really good with the cocktails in it, I saw.
Now, as if this shitstorm couldn't get any bigger, a fight has now broken out between three mummy bloggers of Livia Wright, Sarah Kearns, and Smilf. Now, Sarah Kearns has 60,000 followers on Instagram. She is a mummy blogger and runs a website with her husband called Mum and Dad Life. Now, Smilf is a proud feminist and a single mum, and she really shows the reality of what life is like as a single mother. Her page also does a lot to smash down the patriarchy.
So what actually happened with these three? Because I was trying to keep up on Instagram and there was a lot of back and forth on their Instagram stories, and it seems to have centered around an Instagram live that Smilf put up.
Now, just to give some context, Smilf does not use her real name on the internet for personal reasons. And so that's why we are referring to her as that. So she put up an Insta story about the glassware incident saying,
I just realized why she's called Smilf.
Yeah.
Single. Yeah, I just didn't even realize. That's
so funny.
Milf.
Yeah. So basically she put up an Insta story calling Olivia out about the glassware incident. She also did a live where she spoke about Olivia's friend Sarah and her reaction to a follower telling Sarah that she had something up her nose.
Because I missed the Instagram live and I was trying to piece together what the hell was going on, and it cracked me up that it was all over a booger.
So Sarah wrote on her Insta story, she wants us to be silent. She wants to go onto a live video, make pig noises and ridicule me for my profession. Just to give context, Sarah is a police officer. She wants to bring down influencers and the things they share. She then went on to name Smilf, who has, as I mentioned, who has previously tried to keep her name private. Sarah then continued and said, the only impact you have made on the world is a podcast on how to get the most out of Centrelink and impersonating Amy Winehouse.
Oh, shots fired.
I'm just baffled at how nasty some of these mummy bloggers are getting.
I'm not at all surprised, to be honest. They're probably running on no sleep. They've got kids all around annoying them, and then they're trying to use their social media and people are being rude, and I'd probably be firing things back.
Oh my gosh, I can't imagine you, Kate, as a mummy. Well, I can imagine you as a mummy blogger going ape. I'm just surprised that this woman, she's a police officer and she's able to be so public on social media and to be engaging in these kind of fights, because then it's like, well, did she get the information through her career? Yeah. Or how did she name this woman that doesn't want to be named?
Yeah, well, Smilf, she was pretty upset by it and sat on it for a few hours to wait to give a dignified response. And she explained that she was not bagging out Sarah's profession. She explained that she has a complex relationship with police given their treatment of minority groups. And she reiterated that she does not hate influencers. She simply holds them to account and never says anything actually personal about influencers. So she then contacted Sarah, asking her to please take down her name. And she said, you know, what if she was hiding her personal details because of a domestic violence situation? Sarah chose to reply via email, and she allegedly sent this email, which Smilf shared on her Insta story. She said, "You need to stop talking about us and defaming us and our friends. Otherwise, we release your full name, place of residence, mother, and everything else we found to be public knowledge on the internet. This will occur across 4 pages and 2 flat platforms, reaching a minimum of 500,000 people. At this point, we will then happily engage in a legal battle. We will drown you in costs, so I hope you engage your team on a no-win, no-fee basis. We have saved every one of your stories and have it documented as evidence over the last 6 months."
So has Sarah come out and denied this? It was from her?
Well, it was a screenshot. So, I mean, I don't know how much denying can go on.
Yeah. So let's just be clear for legal reasons that it appears to be an email from her. We're not 100% sure. This is something that Smilf has shared onto her Instagram account.
Wow, that is a very intimidating email to receive, particularly from someone that works in the police force. I would not have wanted to be on the receiving end.
Pretty sure it's probably not on official police letterhead, though, I'm assuming.
Well, the thing that I found quite awful, if that email is in fact from Sarah, is the fact that Smilf has asked for her personal details to please be taken down. And, you know, if there is a domestic violence situation involving her child and herself, that's putting her in a very unsafe situation. So I really feel for Smilf.
Yeah, so do I. Like, I just think it's so bizarre how it got to a point where we're sort of laughing about Alibaba glasses, and it gets to a point where another mummy vlogger is allegedly threatening to out this woman's personal information.
It's like having a job working 24/7 for 2 days on the trot. Cameras, I hate playing games of shit.
Now, let's get into the influencer rap. And this one is a really sad one. It involves Sophie's favorite fitness influencer, Steve Cook.
Why is he my favorite influencer?
Well, you and Brandon love watching him. I also love watching his YouTubes. And what's really cool about Steve Cook is he has an Australian girlfriend who is a Gymshark ambassador called Morgan Moroney.
Now, we have spoken about her before because she did what every girl wants to do. She actually went to Steve Cook's appearance, a meet and greet, with her boyfriend at the time and met him and then later became his girlfriend.
So there's hope for everyone who is a fangirl of anybody online. Now, what's happened is Morgan has been in Australia for the last 6 months and she's gone to catch a flight over to America to see Steve.
Now, for anyone who watches Steve's YouTube channel, they will know that Morgan was living in Utah with him for about 6 months and she had to leave because her visa was up.
So what's happened is poor Morgan's flown over to the US over the weekend. She was held in immigration for 16 hours before being told she'd have to get on a plane and go back to Australia and isolate for 14 days on her return. Morgan told her Instagram followers, immigration said the reason for not allowing her entry into the country was due to her previous visa extension earlier this year, which she said was legally granted. So the reason for the extension was due to the fact her flight home to Australia was continually cancelled due to COVID. So she said she'd share more information on it, but it sounds really sad because she wasn't even allowed to speak to Steve for 9 hours into the interrogation.
Well, because I remember she was supposed to head back to Australia a few months earlier. And then, as you say, the borders closed and she was there for several months later. So yeah, it's really sad that this has happened. I mean, it'd be so hard having a long distance relationship with someone overseas during COVID. Now, I love this story. Influencer Brittany Saunders has released a new business venture, and it's an activewear line called Form Active. And in true influencer style, the line has of course sold out. And it's no surprise because it looks amazing. It's been promoted so well with a diverse range of models, which is so great to see.
I know. I think some other influencers need to take a leaf out of Brittany Saunders' book because not only did the line look amazing and very sleek, but I really want to praise her for her use of diversity in their marketing campaign.
Well, she's well known for doing that with her swimwear, so it's great to see she's continuing on that really good trend.
Well, in true Brittany style, she took to Instagram to thank her followers for sticking by her. And I thought this was really funny. She explained in her Instagram caption that she'd gone from living in a little studio apartment in Sydney, sleeping in until midday every day. And she said she felt lost while she was making Kmart YouTube hauls. And now she owns 3 brands and runs a retail store in Newcastle.
Yeah, it's really great to see because she's grown into this amazing businesswoman who has such a strategic mind and is, of course, on the ball with these sort of things.
Yeah, it just shows you that you can be talking about sort of what seems like mindless things like Kmart hauls on YouTube, and you can actually grow your YouTube career into a huge business like she has done.
It is interesting because we have been discussing a lot of influencer-led businesses at the moment, even today on the podcast with House of White. However, I really think you can tell the difference between influencers who are serious about being businesswomen and those that are just sort of trying to flog off a product. And you can see with Brittany Saunders that she has really been strategic about her businesses, the brand, and the messaging she wants to put out. And it really aligns with her own personal brand, which is why I think it's been so successful.
Well, just moving on to a relatively new trend I seem to be seeing a lot on Instagram at the moment is Aussie influencers that keep teasing their new relationships online. Have you guys noticed this one?
Yeah, I have. It seems like, you know, obviously social media has grown into this huge thing where it is a big deal for someone to introduce their boyfriend. When an influencer introduces a boyfriend, they become in the spotlight themselves. They get new brand deals. They get everything. But what they've also realized too is that it's great marketing for them if people think they have a boyfriend.
Well, that makes them relevant. I mean, we've seen Tully Smythe trying to tease that she was potentially out on a date with her ex-Big Brother housemate, Drew Anthony, which ended up being a completely different guy that she was on a date with. And we also saw it with Chelsea McLeod from The Bachelor. She was really kind of posting a lot of pictures with this mystery man. And it does really make them relevant again and get people talking, which is what they presumably want.
Can I just say, Kate, it's actually Anthony Drew. Did you know his real name is Anthony? Remember that shock on Big Brother?
Yes, I do remember that.
Yeah, but he's known by Drew. So that's, yeah.
Anyway, but it's quite amusing because I heard on Tully's podcast that she does it purposely. So she said to make people a little bit jealous, she'll sometimes include a man's arm in the background of her Insta stories.
Or to make guys jealous, yeah, or people following her.
Yeah, to make other guys jealous or be like, who is that guy that she's with? So she'll put a hint of a man's arm in the background, which is exactly what she did the other day on her Insta story.
To be honest, when I was single, I've done that trick before. You try and put people in your Insta story to make others jealous.
What, like your little cousins or something?
My little cousins? No.
Pretend as faux boyfriend. Friends, isn't that?
Yeah,
is
what
that
did what you're do saying? With my well, I did it with other people, not my cousins. Like Ben. Oh.
Sorry, that's so funny. Well, another influencer that has been teasing her boyfriend is Lily Brown, and in a recent YouTube video, she actually mentioned him in the title. So she said, "And Bay is going to be in the video." So I, of course, watched it, but I fast forwarded to the point where her boyfriend was apparently meant to appear, and it was in a photo shoot. So did anyone see that photo of Lily Brown?
Yeah.
And her boyfriend.
It was just like these crude silhouettes of bodies that you could not tell who the fuck it was.
It was very pornographic.
Okay. Well, anyway, the weirdest thing was, though, her mum was at that shoot. So the mum was filming the behind-the-scenes vision, and it was like cutting off the guy's head so you couldn't tell.
But she's not a regular mum. She's a cool mum.
Yeah, I was going to say, that does not surprise me. That fits with her mum's MO, I believe.
Now, isn't M. Davies teasing a new love interest as well?
Yeah, so she's been on Instagram teasing a new boyfriend, and people have done their investigative work. They've worked out that it's a guy called Joe Gambin, who is a Perth promoter with 6,000 followers. I'm assuming that's going to grow a lot now he's dating M. Davies, because he's hopped on his Instagram story as well and shared a photo over the weekend of himself at the Ritz-Carlton. She shared a photo of herself at the Ritz-Carlton, so clearly they were there together.
It's just the mathematics of it, isn't it? It's the stalking mathematics of that person being in the same location.
They're just dropping clues.
But there was also, she also included a shot of half of his arm with his visible tattoos, and also it was like a side of his face. So is this what we're going to be seeing more? People on Instagram just sharing arms of different people.
Is it because their boyfriends aren't hot, so they're trying to make them?
No, I don't think it's that. It's like, oh, I'm just being really mature about it and not putting my boyfriend all over Instagram.
Do you think it's that thing where when you're dating, you're not really sure whether to post a new guy on your Instagram? So maybe it's showing she's not that confident about the relationship.
I more think it's because they don't want people to use them. So they're not wanting to tag them yet. And also, like, I think we've discussed this before. I feel like once someone is being positioned as this incredible boyfriend, they then get heaps of girls hitting up their DMs. So perhaps they're trying to stop that happening.
Do you know what? I disagree. I actually think it's all for their engagement. Because can you imagine if Lily Brown and M. Davies are putting up these Insta stories with these, you know, a hint of a guy's arm, people are noticing this stuff and then they're forwarding it onto their friend on Instagram. And we all know that that's going to up the person's engagement rate. But just on
Well, can I just say, now likes and comments are like like bottom tier compared to actually like forwarding posts and Instagram stories on, as well as of course saving them. So that's true. That could really be an element to this.
Definitely. We're just on M. Davies again quickly. She did address her recent breakup with Jake Saunders, and this was in an Insta story, and she said she keeps getting asked, why did they break up? Now, she of course didn't tell anyone why they broke up, but she did say that they broke up in August, and the easiest way to get over a breakup is trusting your intuition. So that was a bit, that was kind of shots fired, wasn't it? It was kind of alluding that maybe he wasn't the best
guy. That's a weird thing to say. That doesn't really make sense. But I suppose she's saying that she now knows that he's done the wrong thing.
Maybe. Are we really surprised that it made no sense what she said?
No.
Well, talking about Jake Saunders, he's been in a bit of hot water this week. He's had to come out and apologize profusely after he told his followers they should aspire to become more than just an electrician or a nurse. Let's have a listen to exactly what he said.
Because I am sick to death of hearing people setting their goals so fucking low. Of, I want to be a Sparky, or I want to be a nurse, or I want to do all this kind of stuff. That's good and all, but set your fucking goals higher. Like, your life is only what you make it, and you don't have to work for the man for the rest of your life. I promise you, spend a little bit of time working out what you want to do, dump a little bit of energy and money into it, start your own business. And I guarantee within 6 months, you'll have the same mindset as I do now. I will never work for anybody else ever again.
So basically, we should just aspire to be an influencer. Is that right? Is that what he's trying to put out there?
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. Influencers have done so much more for the world than nurses during the pandemic.
Well, he did come out and profusely apologize, and he said he was in the wrong and that he said the wrong thing and that he does really, really respect electricians and nurses.
Well, so he should. I don't even know who the bloody hell he is, really. Like, isn't he just famous from M. Davies?
Yeah, basically.
Okay, so we all should just sort of date an influencer and write off their coattails then.
Now let's get into some shiny news. She has told her followers that she will no longer be using the Instagram filters anymore. And I personally think that this is great because it is so misleading what is going on Instagram at the moment. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm all for using a filter that makes you look a bit more tan, but when you are altering the appearance of your face, it is just going too far.
Oh, it's definitely gone too far. There's some people that I'm like, why are they all morphing into the same person? I mean, it was funny because I think you'd saved the shiny filter she'd been using, and we all put it on ourselves and we literally couldn't believe it. But then it kind of gives you this hang up because you're like, oh, maybe my nose does look better thinner and my lips do look better bigger.
It was literally a plastic surgery filter. We put it on our friend who's a male, and it was hilarious, his response, because he just looked totally messed up when he put it on. He didn't look better. He looked weird.
Well, what I find weird is that people that actually have had plastic surgery or lip fillers are using the filter, because it's like you've already got the filler, but then you're trying to make your lips look bigger. Like, I noticed Skye Wheatley was using it a bit, and it's just sort of, I feel like that's someone that would get a real hang up over it and potentially then go and get plastic surgery to look like the filter.
It's just bad for the world, really.
It's just so harmful for young girls. I couldn't even imagine growing up with this sort of filter because it just makes you feel shit about yourself. The thing that's quite ironic is these filters were released almost a year ago, and it's really funny because when you go back through your highlights to see old stories you shared, it was the filters that had those white dots over everything. You know, when you thought, oh, this looks really cool. And now I'm annoyed because I saved all these videos like that and it just looks stupid. I found this one really interesting. For a few weeks now, Chloe Zepp and Mitchell Orville have been sharing about how they are on the hunt for a new house. And Chloe shared on her story this week asking her followers, would they rather have a large block of land or would they rather be a walk from the beach?
Wow, I'd be happy with either, to be honest. Like, those are two pretty premium selections.
It's really interesting because I feel like these big scale influencers, they have so much money, but no one seems to purchase a house these days. Well, you look at Chloe and Mitch's house that they rent at the moment. It's on the river. It is an exquisite house. There's about five different bedrooms. It is insane, this house. There's palm trees everywhere. It is beautiful. But you think about how much money they are just throwing down the drain on rent.
Yeah, but just because they're influencers doesn't, you know, it's not like they're going to go and buy a small house somewhere. These are the type of people that are earning a lot of money. They might not have saved up a proper...
Yeah, but that's the point. If they can afford thousands of dollars in rental fees that you would presume these properties would cost, they're also setting a real precedent of standard of living that they will want to continue in the future. I mean, they're not always going to be getting these big paydays, so why not put money into a house now? I mean, the housing market's only going to be maybe keep going up.
I suppose we don't see what they're doing. They might be buying investment properties that they might not particularly want to live at. A lot of people do rent because they actually just want to have that lifestyle. Amy,
but what we're saying is they're obviously paying a lot of money to rent this premium house on the riverfront that they could be putting towards their own mortgage.
I think it is a little naive because I think that one day this whole influencer thing is going to dry up a little bit when these people get older and they're no longer relevant.
Well, Michael Finch has already experienced that and he's saying, wow, I wish a couple of years ago that I had just bought my house because then I wouldn't have to be moving. Like, I mean, everyone knows what a pain in the ass it is being in rentals.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that when you look at what a normal person earns compared to what an influencer earns, them spending X amount on a house doesn't seem like that big of a deal.
Yeah, but what we're saying is there's not a longevity in that career. I mean, it would be safe to say that they won't be earning what they're earning now in, you know, 10 years time. So it would be best that they actually started investing in their future.
Yeah, but that's their business, I'm just saying.
I think the thing that is just sad for a lot of influencers is that they expect that to last. And I think that it would be really helpful if a lot of them got some financial advisors on board because they are earning a lot of money.
But what if they buy a house and you're saying that this career is not going to last and they're not going to be able to pay off their mortgage?
Well, they could probably get a good chunk of the mortgage done and then sell it at a...
Anyway.
Amy, some of these people are making millions of dollars.
Yeah, I know. But
sorry, Amy, if you bought $1 million house and sold it in 10 years' time, I'm sure they will make quite a bit off the house.
Right, well,
do you know what? One thing I thought was quite amusing was the fact that Chloe was like, yeah, Mitch, let's build a house and we can do, like, you know, reno series and building series. And he's like, no, all the influencers are doing that. So it's quite funny because I would think that that would be a pretty good thing to monopolize on their YouTube channel.
Well, I think that's all we have time for. Thank you so much for joining us for today's episode. If you have enjoyed it, it would be amazing if you could please leave us a rating.
And please come and join us for a chat in our Facebook community at Outspoken, the podcast community.
Make sure you put your celebrity lookalikes in there.
Yes, I really am excited to see these.